Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
To the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome to the Illini Choir Podcast. Big day for Illinois football as they land a landmark addition in the class of 2023. Malik Elzey makes it official. The four-star consensus composite wide receiver out of Chicago, Simeon, announces he's going to be a Fighting Illini, and he is the highest-ranked commitment Illinois has landed during the Brett Bielema era and the prep route. And Ryan Easterling joining me now to break this all down on what is a significant addition for Illinois. Former Cincinnati commit, had offers from the likes of Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Notre Dame. Ryan, this is a big one. What do you think this means for the Illini?
Well, I think it's a reward for all the hard work they've put in on the recruiting trail for a long time. You know, he's been a priority since the start, and this is a big tip of the cap to George McDonald for seeing this one through, even when they didn't land him the first time around. You know, I think everyone thought that Cincinnati would be a big competition for them on the recruiting trail in this recruitment. You know, one of his first offers was from Michigan, and with former Simeon Wolverine Chris Bryant, who was one of the first guys I even covered when I got into this, being one of their directors of player personnel up there. They obviously had a connection, but you know, things shook out the way they did. He committed to Cincinnati, eventually backed off that commitment late in the high school season, and then you know, everything immediately shifted to Illinois. They held off some forays from some other programs like Oregon, Tennessee, and got it done. You know, and I think for him, the biggest thing is probably opportunity. And I'm sure we'll get into that in a bit. But, you know, kudos to Illinois for staying the course, not letting up, even when it looked like, you know, he might have gotten away from them for a while.
Yeah, just to put this in the context of what Malik Elzey is he is – we'll break down what he brings to the field. But just in terms of a recruiting win, right, we don't know who's going to be the best player that Brett Bielema lands. Like, Devin Witherspoon ends up being the best player they recruit in the class of 2019 that – had Isaiah Williams, had Marquez Beeson and Shimon Cooper, right? Like, you never know how this ends up, but he's the Chicago Public League's top prospect, right? He's a top five in-state prospect according to the composite rankings. He's the highest in-state prospect Illinois has landed since Gabe Megason in 2015. He's the highest ranked Chicago Public League prospect they've landed since Martez Wilson back in 2007. Only two guys from in-state since 2010 have been had a higher ranking from in-state, and that's Megason and Aaron Bailey. Of course, not all of these work out, right? But he's a very high floor prospect. He's a very high ceiling prospect. And in a class where you already have Caden Fagan, a top five composite guy, in a class where it took Michigan to keep you from getting Jair Hill, Deacon Tonielli, and Roderick Pierce, Ryan, like, the in-state progress this staff has made is phenomenal. And this is just the commitment, I think, even more than Fagan, that kind of reaffirms yourself as a major in-state player. George McDonald said to Malik Elzey, Malik told me this a year ago, that George McDonald said, I'm going to recruit you harder than anybody for 2 years until you sign. And here you go. It pays off for Illinois. And I think, obviously, the offensive progress has helped here, but all the in-state effort seems like it's led to this.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the things we talked about when Bielema first came on staff here at Illinois, is that it's going to take some time for them to really turn things around in-state, and more than time, it was going to take on-field progress And this year, going 8-5, you know, they had the 8-4 regular season, a hot start 7-1, showed that. And so they had something to sell on the trail to these guys that wanted proof in the pudding, right? You know, they wanted to see that it wasn't just lip service, it wasn't just promises that things were going to get better. They actually showed progress on the field. And that is what's starting to appeal to some of these higher-rated recruits, some of these guys in-state that for a long time, one, weren't prioritized, and two, didn't see the results of what they were able to do on the field. So I think this is really the fruits of that, in that they were able to make that progress on the field and also show that prioritization and that commitment to the state again.
And I think we have to remember, when Malik Elzey committed to Cincinnati, it made sense from his perspective. Like, everything I heard is Illinois had done great. And you know, his heart was kind of with Illinois. But when you're kind of making that decision in June, Cincinnati's coming off a college football playoff berth. Cincinnati's coming off Desmond Ridder getting picked in the third round as a quarterback. Alec Pierce, a Chicagoland guy, getting picked in the second round as a wide receiver. And Illinois had one of the worst passing offenses in the country under Tony Peterson. And we got to remember when he decommitted from Cincinnati. I think Illinois was 6-1 coming off that Nebraska win, or they were 7-1 right in there. And Barry Lunney, despite taking, I guess, some arrows from Illinois fans, and understandably wasn't perfect in year one, but it was a competent passing offense. Tommy DeVito set a few records, single season records for Illinois. And you saw guys like Pat Bryant, Casey Washington, and Brian Hightower just enter the transfer portal, all have career years. Isaiah Williams had a career year. Can they get better? Absolutely. But we saw a level of competency, and I think you saw his heart, which was kind of with Illinois. That didn't win out the first time around. But then once he saw some production on the field, I think it became clear to Malik that he could have success in this offense and at Illinois. And if he felt that strongly about George McDonald and Brett Bielema, and I know Nate McNeil, the recruiting high school recruiting director, did a really great job here. I think he just felt like, hey, now the sell is complete and I can go with where my heart was.
Yeah, and you know, you look at how the quarterback play this year elevated the wide receiver play, and I think you could say it can work the other way as well, where you know, wide receiver play can help elevate quarterback play. And you've seen they've been able to stack a great transfer prospect in Luke Altmyer in there. And so now being able to play with him is just an added cherry on top. And his commitment came before Elzey's commitment came. So, you know, it wasn't that Elzey was necessarily waiting to see what happened with the quarterback position. He had bought in, but together, you know, those guys combined, I think, really give you a great potential tandem for the next few years in that passing game, just to be able to elevate the floor and elevate the level of the offense. And it's risen somewhat because of the play calling, but they're also starting to get the personnel that allows them to do what they really want to do.
Yeah, and I think you and I agree, Ryan, like Malik Elzey is the exact type of personnel they need in that wide receiver room. And on the video portion of this podcast, like, starting to play his YouTube or Huddle film here, Malik Elzey is a fantastic prospect, right? Like, the type of wide receiver prospect Illinois hasn't had in a while. I saw him live as a junior. What really stood out to me, Ryan, was his physicality at the position. He was playing JCA at the time, his first game as a junior. And some of the stuff I still loved about him on defense is he brought the hammer, and he's obviously added a lot of strength. 6'3", over 200 pounds. I think he weighed in at 204. So he's ready to play physically. Needs to continue added strength as well. But a guy that can go high point it, uses his great length, 33-inch arms, which is above average in the NFL, according to the combine numbers. And then he's got maybe not burner speed, but he's got enough speed, and it feels like he's got the acceleration to make people miss a little bit. What do you see? What does he bring to this wide receiver room?
I think the thing that stood out to me the most is his catch radius. I mean, you said that he's got long arms. He's a great jumper. He's a tall, tall body. So, you know, to me, you can throw it anywhere near him, and he tends to bring it in. A lot of people have seen what he's done in 7-on-7 seasons, and people make the argument, oh, well, how's that translate to 11-on-11 when the pads and the helmets are on? But then he does it on the field when he's got, you know, in 11-on-11 team situations, where he's got pads, he's got the helmet, he goes up and he still makes those physically contested catches, or some of those circus catches. I got to see him this year against Lane Tech, and he had one where he was almost laid out and it was literally a fingertip away from coming down with it. It was an incredible catch, or incredible almost catch. Mm-hmm. But he's just got that ability, and I think that gives a little bit of forgiveness to the quarterback to miss by a bit when you've got a guy like that. I mean, obviously, the better your quarterback is, the more likely the chances are to break a big play. But it gives your quarterback a little bit of fudge to be able to miss and still come down with that catch, especially when he can physically dominate defensive backs.
Yeah, we love to do the comps here. Like, what can he be? And I'm struggling here because I feel like he's got a little bit of the length and maybe long speed of a Geronimo Allison, but I feel like he's physically built like Malik Turner, right? Like he's got that kind of physicality to him. So that kind of player. I mean, Illinois hasn't had a lot of those guys here recently. Brian Hightower's big physical. Josh Amator Bebe was just a physical freak, but not the twitchiest. I think Elzy's got a little bit more twitch to him, but I feel like he's got the potential of some of those guys that Illinois kind of lacked here the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I don't want to create any sort of unrealistic expectations right here, but he's got a little bit of Regis Ben to him. I mean, if you look at some of Regis's tape, he's not necessarily explosive. He's not as explosive, and I know Regis was a five-star, but if you look at him, like, similar body types, similar kind of movement in space, like, he does a little bit of the same stuff. So it's tough because Illinois hasn't had many receivers like this.
Right.
And so when you're making a comparison, you're having to get a little bit off of or out of the box. But, you know, what I saw was a little bit of that because they would throw it to Regis in space. And Malik this year a lot of times got it in space because – and I'm not slighting their quarterback at all, but they don't necessarily have the strongest quarterback play at Simeon. He's a good player, and he's been able to make the offense move. But, you know, they found a lot of different ways to get it to Elzy. And it wasn't just deep balls. There were a lot of times that he caught screens and was able to make a lot out of a pretty short play. So –
And what I like about him, Ryan, he's going to block because he certainly did that for Andre Cruz, who's really good running back, one of the best running backs in the state this past year. And in this offense, you got to be a willing blocker, and I think that really helps you for the NFL if that's where you want to be because you're going to have to do that. I think he could be a tremendous asset in the blocking game, which we know under Brett Bielema. Like, I think Barry Lunny's going to throw it a little bit more without Chase Brown moving forward, but they still want to be a running physical offense, and I do think Malik Elzy can be a plus there.
Yeah, and once they start, as they start to add more of these receiving threats, these viable receiving threats to the receiver room that can stretch the field, I think you're going to start to see this offense look a little more like what the UTSA offense did under Lunny in his last year there, where they had Zachary Franklin and some of the other guys in there that could stretch the field, go up and make contested catches, but they still didn't get away from the run game fundamentally. They had a quarterback that was at least somewhat mobile, and was it Frank Harris, I think his name was?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the running back, I think it was Sincere McCormick. I mean, it was a very balanced attack, but it definitely had more threats in the passing game than what we saw this year from Illinois. And I think now that they've got guys like Elzy and then they've got some other guys that can start to stretch the field and give them more high percentage catches, you're going to start to see a little more of that flavor that Lunny had his last year at UTSA.
And right now in our huddle video, we got to the punting portion for Malik Elzy. So if you want a little bit of a weapon there, you can have the punting of Malik Elzy.
Or a fake punting weapon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Ryan, like, Illinois loses Brian Hightower. Pat Bryant's back. Casey Washington should be back. Isaiah Williams should be back. That's a nice solid four, like better than Illinois has had in recent years. But there certainly is opportunity to make an immediate impact, whether it's Colin Dixon, whether it's Malik Elzy, Kenari Wiltshire. You have a young group coming up. We'll talk more a little bit about what George McDonald has done in that room. But do you expect Malik Elzy to make an immediate impact for Illinois?
I don't think he's going to be one of their leading receivers, but I think he has a chance to have a pretty significant contribution as a freshman. And it's tough to come in and do that, but physically I think he's pretty well prepared. It sounds like he's enrolling early, which I think is the case. So if he's enrolling early, that gives him a few months to get physically dialed up for you know, the fall season. I could see him being, you know, maybe a few hundred yard receiver, catch a few touchdowns in the red zone, and I think that's probably the biggest thing he brings that this team really lacks in, and they really struggle at this year, is a red zone threat. Because when you look at his tape and the number of times that he just goes up and gets the ball in contested situations, Illinois really struggled to finish drives. And I think sometimes it was because they became too predictable down near the goal line with the run game and just couldn't punch it in. So when you have the ability or the, you know, have the versatility to not only run the ball well, but also throw it up to a guy like that, I think that's going to give him some opportunities to be a jump ball guy, you know, be a threat in the red zone and potentially make a score a few touchdowns.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that can get into the rotation. Is he going to be one of their leading receivers? I mean, I would go with Isaiah Williams and Pat Bryant as those top two options. And Casey Washington, just a vet. He's reliable, all those things. But I can see him getting into the mix. You know, Pat Bryant got into the mix as a true freshman. I think Malik Elzey is a better prospect, maybe more explosive than Pat Bryant. So I could see, like you're saying, maybe the fourth, third leading receiver on this team. Like, that wouldn't be out of the question. For me, you just never know with freshmen. But among this class, I think he's got a chance to, among a lot of these guys on offense, to make as big of an impact as any.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
I think we got to shout out George McDonald, right? He took over, arguably, maybe besides quarterback Ryan, the worst position group from the Lovie Smith era. They just did not recruit that position very well. The in-state prospects, they just weren't able to get. The St. Louis prospects, they weren't able to get most of them. And he took over a room that, remember at the time, he had to move Isaiah Williams and Deuce Spann from quarterback to wide receiver, and they were two of the best threats during Brett Bielema's first year. They had Caleb Griffin move from kicker to wide receiver during the spring, and their top two of their top guys were Casey Washington and Donnie Navarro. Casey Washington was the fourth wide receiver this year, basically. Donnie Navarro transfers, goes to Northwestern, doesn't make a very big impact. So he took over a room that wasn't all that good. The last 2 years, though, he's gotten a haul, man. Hank Beatty, Ian Pugh from in-state, Sean Miller, very good prospect who chose Illinois over several Power 5 offers. Ashton Hollins, you know, a little bit of a boomer bust guy maybe, but length and speed is certainly there. We'll see how he develops. And then this year you get Malik Elzey, Colin Dixon, who I thought before Elzey might have been the best offensive player in this class that they got. And then Kenari Wilcher, a guy you've been high on at wide receiver. They move from a DB prospect to a wide receiver prospect. It gives them a burner. What do you think about what George McDonald's done in that room?
Well, I don't know if he's maybe made enemies with some of the other coaches because he keeps stealing all their best players. But no, I think what he's done is he's put together a pretty good, diverse group. You know, it used to be that Illinois had just like a lot of tall, slow guys. They've switched it up. I mean, obviously Isaiah Williams had a really productive year this year, but besides him, there weren't a whole lot of guys that really put together big stat number years. And some of that, you know, it's just a matter of rhythm and consistency, and some of that could be play calling and the flow of the games. But you look at what they've got now. They've got a variety of different threats in guys like Dixon, Elzey, Pat Bryant that have that height and that length to go out there and get the ball. You've got fast guys like Isaiah Williams and Kenari Wilcher. You know, Wilcher, I think, probably takes a little bit of time to develop just to get physically where he needs to be. Especially if, you know, if he's ever going to be relied upon to be a blocker. But they've got guys that can get it. And then they're proven guys that at the high school level have had that production. So Dixon and Wilcher were both 1,500-plus-yard guys as seniors. And then you've got some developmental guys, like you mentioned, that have those tools. Like Hollins is really fast. He's tall. He's just not as physically built as some of the other guys are. But that's when you've got other depth in the room, that gives you the luxury of giving him having time to get where he needs to be. And then same thing, like Ian Pugh was a contested recruitment. That was Illinois and Iowa fighting it out. And he's a great prospect. He's just a little bit slender right now. So as he continues to stack that weight on it and get bigger, I think he can be another guy that there's three guys lining up. They'll be able to throw ID of different guys out there.
Yeah, I look at this group and, in the slot, you got Isaiah probably for another year. You get Hank Beatty and Kenari Wilcher behind him. Right, and those guys maybe give you a little bit of something different. Kenari, just pure burner. Hank Beatty, ridiculous hands, really good route runner. Then the outside, you have Malik Elzey now with Ian Pugh and Ashton Hollins, kind of as those long, slender, you hope, take the top off of defense, win some contested catches. And then I kind of see Sean Miller and Colin Dixon as kind of these versatile guys who can kind of work everywhere. I just think that's as deep of a room, at least in talent. And then you develop them. And George McDonald has a really good history of development dating back to, NC State, going back to Syracuse. Like, he's done really good at this. He's coached at the NFL level, and you've seen him get more out of the wide receivers that he inherited than the previous staff. So I think he's doing a really good job. I think outside linebacker, the staff has done a really good job of building up young depth, offensive line. But wide receiver is and defensive back, of course, but wide receiver on offense, you feel almost probably as good as any. Running back, they're doing a good job too, but I just feel like compared to where they were, Ryan, it's just a major step forward in recruiting talent to this position.
Yeah, I would say the two groups that have probably made the biggest jump on this roster have been receiver and offensive line. They've had some good offensive linemen. They've had some good offensive lines, but I feel like the depth of the offensive line has really taken a big jump. But to your point, receiver has probably improved the most of any of the groups on the team. Sans maybe quarterback, but the receiver group, now that they've got this meaningful depth, they've got 7-8 guys they can put on the field and feel confident that they can go out there and execute these plays. And then they've got some of this top-end talent that's actually going to be able to go out there and really make plays, win contested throws, and be reliable. I think that's the biggest thing is it was, the last few years there have been drop problems. They've had missed routes, things like that. The group that's in there now, I feel the coaches probably have a lot more confidence in, which is going to allow them to open up the playbook more, and which I think will also allow Barry Lunney to be more creative, and then they can hopefully that translates to moving the ball more effectively through the air.
This group does lose Brian Hightower, who I thought had a really nice season. He didn't play in the bowl game. Preppy almost said it was a hamstring injury. I think he was covering for Brian, but Brian was there with his team. He's got an extra year of eligibility because he redshirted last year, which was kind of a lost year for him. I saw he's visiting UCLA. He's an LA native. That would make some sense for him. So I don't want to poo-poo that loss. I mean, he's a proven guy who can produce for you at the wide receiver position. Big, physical, one of his best catches of the year, called back against Indiana. But that's a loss, but I do think it's a replaceable guy. Pat Bryant takes a step forward. If Ian Pugh or Malik Elzey or Colin Dixon makes an immediate impact. But do you think Illinois should go after a transfer wide receiver? Because they certainly could use somebody who can create some separation. We saw during the bowl game, outside of Isaiah Williams, that is still an issue for this group.
I could see them potentially doing it. I think they've got bigger needs. But if the space is there and the right guy falls into their lap, then by all means, I think it could be a value add. But like you said, I think they've done a good job of filling that void with some of the prospects they've landed between Dixon and Elzey. I think one of those two guys or between the two of them, they can probably at least replace what Brian Hightower was bringing potentially as soon as this year. But like I said, if the right guy falls into the transfer portal or if they get an opportunity to add somebody, I could see Bielema being opportunistic and jumping on that, just knowing he has a chance to improve his offense. I don't think he's the type of person to pass up an opportunity like that if he knows it can make his team better. He's just competitive like that.
So Malik Elzey, currently with this commitment, puts Illinois in the top 40 nationally, and I believe top 8, top 7 in the Big Ten in the recruiting rankings. Just to put that into context here, Ryan, Illinois has not had a top 40 class since 2009. Right, so I know there's some misses that you'd love to have back, especially Roderick Pierce or Jair Hill, especially some of those in-state guys. But this is just a gradually improving recruiting operation, and you're starting to win some of these bigger battles against Big Ten rivals, whether it's, you know, Wisconsin or Iowa. Still got to beat Michigan, but hey, they're back-to-back Big Ten champion and back-to-back college football playoffs, so it's going to be difficult for Illinois to do that. But man, if you told me before this year that Illinois is going to land Caton Fagan, Malik Elzey, you know, a bunch of their guys that they got in on official visits in June, I'd say that's a pretty dang good class. So if we're grading this class, I'm probably saying, you know, B+. Sabour Kareem to me is a monster addition. I think he's a phenomenal prospect. The questions I still have in this class are defensive line and quarterback, but outside of that, I'd probably give this class a B+ given Illinois' history.
Well, I think that's fair, especially when you look at just what they had to sell early in the cycle. You know, they closed really well in this class, and you know, they had a couple of hot streaks in there. But when you look at recruiting as a whole, so much of it starts so early. And when they first started recruiting a lot of the top guys that they missed out on in this class, they really didn't have a whole lot to sell. You know, they were having to say, hey, we're going to get better, we're going to get better. And then by the time they did get better, there were a lot of guys that were already way down the road in their recruitments with other schools. So I think as much as they were able to improve this year, if they can stack another really good season on top of what they did this year, they're going to be in the conversation for some more high-level talent. Because they've been able to get in on the ground floor of some of these recruitments now while they're relevant, while they're successful. You know, they're not trying to sell 3-9, 4-8, 5-7 anymore. They're selling 8-5 to guys that are in the 2024, 2025 classes. One guy in particular who I think we're going to need to keep an eye on over the next couple of years is Elzey's teammate, Chris Burgess. That was a guy that they got in on early. They had him down for a camp, offered him. I think it was his second offer. I want to say Michigan was the first.
No, it was Akron. Akron, then Illinois. I don't think Michigan's even offered yet, but yeah.
I know they've been involved in his visit a couple yes. times, but that's a guy that Illinois has done well with because they got in early, and when they got involved, things were on the uptick. And, you know, beforehand, I would have thought, oh, there's no way. Like, you know, he's just going to end up somewhere else. But, like, they're starting to gain traction with some of these guys because they're recruiting better or they're playing better. And I think because they're playing better, they're able to recruit better.
Yeah, and if we're looking ahead to 2024, they already got one commitment from a solid three-star offensive lineman, Brandon Hansen, out of Mundelein, Illinois. I think that's a solid first get in this class. It's going to be fascinating to see how this class, you know, they've had just to put this again in context, Illinois signed zero in-state prospects in the class of 2020. The first two full years of Brett Bielema being the head coach, they've signed 20. And, you know, Brandon Hansen's committed, so that's 21. But it's going to be interesting to see how that builds upon itself moving forward. Some of the guys I have highlighted in the 2024 classes, Lyons Township defensive lineman Eddie Turk. He's an Illinois, I guess, legacy. His dad went here. His sister attends here. He's visited here multiple times along with a bunch of other Big Ten schools. Tyshawn Griffin out of Morgan Park, our Chicago Public League kid. Luke Williams out of Naperville North, the teammate of David Alano, the kicker. He's a wide receiver. Marcus Easley out of Kankakee. Illinois just offered. He's gotten a rush of offers. And Darian Dupree out of Mount Carmel, which Illinois has done pretty good in the Chicago Catholic League. You know, some of those top five guys in this class, I feel like Illinois is behind on, even though they offered early. But that group of guys, the guys 5 through 15 in this 2024 class, I think Illinois is off to a good start, and we'll see how landing a guy like Malik Elzey, Caden Fagan, some of these other Chicagoland kids, and what 8-5 can do for them in this 2024 class, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, in the last decade, it's been crazy to see how they might have only signed two or three in the top 25 in the state. And now they're regularly in contention for double digits in the top 15. So, to your point, the top five, I think, in 2024 is going to be tough sledding. You know, they were a little bit behind. They offered early, but it was, you know, as far as the clout that they had when they started recruiting these guys, I think they were a little behind. If you look like Christian Bentenker, Justin Scott, Cam Williams, Grant Steck, those are guys that I just don't know that they were really ever able to get that traction with early on enough. But, you know, I think they've done really well with that next group, and those guys are quality players. I mean, Amarion Stewart for Bolingbroke is an incredible player. Marquise Easley has blown up. Tyshawn Griffin is a huge play threat, and he plays a lot of different positions. So there are a lot of great players with a bunch of offers. And, you know, Illinois high school football has a pretty deep 2024 class. You know, it's not just a handful of guys up top and then the rest is all MAC-level players. They've got a lot of guys that are sought after. And the level of competition for recruiting in the state of Illinois has gone up. So, you know, Illinois and Brett Bielema, they're going to try and defend that turf. And I think – that's something that Bielema made very clear when he came in, was Illinois is going to be a priority. We need to try and seal the borders as much as we can. I mean, I don't think it's realistic to expect that they shut it down entirely, but they need to be able to get their share of the top talent year over year. And I think that is what's going to be the foundation. And what, you know, when he came on, we said this would be the foundation of how they turn this around. And I think they've proceeded that way. I think it's been the way that they've been able to really start to turn things around and build that pride and that favor within the state. And that's been able to elevate the profile of the program starting at home.
Yeah, definitely a lot left in this offseason. We got big NFL draft decisions. Tariq Barnes comes back. I think that's a nice get back, team captain, a guy in your front seven you can count on. So that linebacker group, when you include the outside linebackers in it, with Tariq Barnes, we'll see what C.J. Hart does, but Kenenna Odaluga coming back, and then you add Seth Coleman, Gabe Akis. You're feeling good about that. We'll see what the law firm of Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton decides, and some big decisions on the offensive line with Julian Pearl and Isaiah Adams, who had a fantastic season and has gotten some good NFL draft feedback, but the hope is that he comes back and potentially could be a day one or day two pick in 2024. So some big decisions coming up here with Illinois football, and that certainly will impact what happens with the transfer portal. One guy I want to mention, it's a guy I watched camp at Illinois, a normal Illinois native, Marcellus Johnson out of Eastern Michigan, told me he's visiting Illinois at some point this weekend. He's got about five visits set up. Visit Auburn, which just got another transfer offensive lineman. He's going to visit Missouri and a few other schools, but Illinois in the mix there. And I can't argue, Ryan. Like, upgrade offensive line as much as you can, because I think Avery Jones is going to be an upgrade at center. If Julian Pearl and Isaiah Adams come back, those are two potential pros. Then you think Zy Chrysler can improve going into his second year at the Big Ten level as a junior. If you can add a guy like Marcellus Johnson to that group as well, this offensive line could be even better than it was this year.
Yeah, I mean, they were in the conversation as a Joe Moore semifinalist offensive line. So obviously they had played a lot better. And some of that is credit to Bart Miller for developing some of these guys, because, you know, they had a lot of good players, but it seems like at least for the most part, the offensive line took that jump. And, you know, as great as Chase Brown was, a lot of that is due to that offensive line as well. But as I mentioned on the same thing with the receivers, if Brett Bielema feels there's an opportunity to elevate the quality of his offensive line, I think he's going to do it. I think he'll take that opportunity to add a key piece, and they've got some guys that can flex to more than one position. So if there's somebody that's available at a certain position and they can move some pieces around to make that work and get their best five out there, I think they'll do it. And it doesn't hurt, especially, I mean, I think you kind of have to recruit Johnson whether you know what Pearl and Adams are going to do or not, because if you start later, once you find out, you're already too late. So get in there, be in the picture, make your pitch. If you land them, great, figure it out. I don't think you want to be playing catch up later and then be left empty handed.
Yeah, Marcellus Johnson, 1 year of eligibility, played at Eastern Michigan, started a bunch of games, could play tackle, but also could play guard. And Isaiah Adams certainly has that flexibility to play guard or tackle. And hey, listen, Jordan Slaughter, you know, maybe an opportunity in his final year of eligibility, but hey, I'm upgrading if I can. So I'm not going to apologize for that. Defensive line obviously could be a huge transfer need if Johnny Newton or Keith Randolph or both go pro. That certainly become a huge position in need. Outside of that, Ryan, I think the position we should talk about, we've talked about receiver a little bit, running back. I think we got to bring that up, right? Because Reggie Love, I think we saw, can be solid. Is he a number one workhorse back? That remains to be seen. Josh McCray, we saw flashes of it as a freshman. This was kind of a lost year for him. Never looked the same with those injuries. And then certainly Jordan Anderson, Aiden Loughran, Caden Fagan have talent. But my position on running back has been, if you can add a star, like the Carson Steele guy from Ball State just went to UCLA, if you can add a running back of that caliber, of that proven production, I'd go get one. But I think it's got to be a guy who can be a star. It's just enticing because Illinois can certainly sell that running position pretty dang well, given what Chase Brown and Brett Bielema has accomplished throughout the career.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason that we have some uncertainty at the running back position is because Chase Brown had 324, I think it was, carries this year. That's a lot. And that means that those are carries where other guys aren't necessarily getting the ball that much. So, you know, Chase Brown was their every down back. And until he was gone, we really didn't get a chance to see, okay, what else we got here. Like, Reggie Love got some limited touches. He carried the ball more in the Northwestern game, looked solid. I thought he had some really good runs in that game, but they haven't had a workhorse outside of Chase Brown, and they really rode Chase Brown this year. And I don't know if this offense is necessarily built around having a single workhorse back. Obviously, it worked fairly well this year with Chase Brown leading the country in yardage, but he had a lot of carries. So if anything, I think if you do have an opportunity to add a back, it also helps split the load. Because, I mean, Josh McCray was hurt a little bit this year. Aiden Loughran has dealt with injuries a lot. Fagan's not proven yet. I mean, he's going to be a true freshman. Jordan Anderson, I have high hopes for, but he's unproven at the college level. So you don't really know what you have. Like, this is going to be a who's going to step up year. I think the clubhouse leaders are McCray and Love. But largely, you know, as three down backs, they're unproven. McCray certainly looks the part. Reggie Love is built well for it, but who's going to step up? And if you have an opportunity to add a guy or make that sell where you say, hey, look what Chase Brown did, we think you can do the same, I think you do it, but only if it's the right guy. I don't think you bring in another running back to say, hey, we think you can be a 1,000-yard back here, or hey, we want you to split carries with these guys. I think it's got to be a prime candidate to fill that void that Chase Brown is leaving. And I don't think it's a multi-year guy. It's probably a one-year guy that's looking to have one hot year and then probably skip to the league.
I would agree with that. I would agree. I think it's got to be someone who's proven to be a star at this level, and we'll see if that guy is even there. I know they feel good about their options. It's just, hey, they're unproven, and in this portal era, you have a chance to upgrade. You might want to try an upgrade. Any other thoughts, Ryan, before we get out here?
Well, no, it's just with a few days left here, obviously they've got a chance to host some transfer visitors. We haven't heard any news yet, but I'd imagine that things start to leak out just as things play out. But I'd be interested to see who ends up in town. I mean, other than Johnson, who we know is visiting, if they do host any other prime transfers, and just see like who all is looking around. I think there's still going to be some guys that wind up hitting the portal. I think there's going to be still some movement in rosters. I mean, Illinois potentially could still see some guys leaving the program. I think they're going to have to because it's just where the numbers are right now. Yeah. But, you know, they keep a close eye on this. Pat Embleton's great at keeping a track of the roster and all their personnel and making sure that they wind up where they need to wind up. But, you know, I'll be interested to see because, you know, they don't want to be too reliant on the portal. They want to get what they need in key specific or strategic positions and be opportunistic whenever the right guys come along. But I'll be interested to see if they maybe fill one or two more spots at some key spots to help fortify the roster, both through the spring and moving into the fall too, because this spring is going to be critical for the team taking that leap, getting the new quarterback assimilated into the team and really building that chemistry that they're going to need to keep this thing going.
Yeah, we mentioned Hightower. Virtus Brown also enters the portal, a guy who kind of switched positions a lot in his career. And under this staff just didn't seem to have what they wanted at the offensive line and the defensive line. They just had better options, so he kind of had fallen down the depth chart. So not a surprise that he's transferring, and I don't think it'll make a big impact on the 2023 class, but or the 2023 season. But great kid, man. Great recruitment to cover. It was a big win for Lovie Smith and that staff at the time just ended up working out here at Illinois. All right, that'll do it for us on the On Acquire podcast. Big day for Illinois football as they land Malik Elzey. Check out all our content up right now at IlliniInquirer.com. You get $1 for your first month of VIP access if you don't have it already. And give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. Like us, review us. We appreciate all of that. And check us out on YouTube as well. For Ryan Easterling, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!